Welcome to the October 20th sermon from Clifford Baptist Church, 635 Fletcher's Level Road in Amherst. Today's scripture is Acts chapter 18, and the sermon is entitled, The Benefit of Marriage, delivered today by Pastor Jeffrey Campbell.
We talked about the beginning of marriage last week. This week, we're going to talk about the benefit of marriage. Next week, we're going to talk about the breakthrough of marriage. And the following week, we're going to talk about what a beautiful marriage looks like. So you have to attend all four sessions and get your little check from the pastor that you attended that. You passed the class, okay? Certainly, I'm just kidding there. My prayer is this. It's not about Jeffrey. It's not about marriage. It's not about Clifford Baptist Church. It's about what God's Word says. And here is the reality. When men and women, boys and girls, align their lives with what the Word of God says, blessing happens from God. And so marriage cannot be blessed. Listen to me. Marriage cannot be blessed if it is outside of God's design and God's will for it. It is not that I am sitting here as judge. I am sitting here thinking I am better than someone. I am not. But according to God's word, He cannot bless that which goes against His design for marriage. And so that was the foundation in which we set last week and what the beginning of marriage looked like as we looked through the lives of Adam and Eve and as God created Eve, that helpmate for Adam, and what that looks like. Today, we talk about the benefit of marriage. When somebody seen the title of that this week, they told me, I can't wait to hear this one to figure out why I've been married for so long. What's the benefit? I'm going to tell you this. It's not what you think. It's not what you think. If you entered marriage, maybe like some of us young ones do, you enter, you see the girl of your dreams or the prince charming of your dreams, and you say, I've got to marry that woman or I've got to marry that man. And you marry for those reasons, you enter into a very, very serious issue. And so today, the center focus of marriage should be Jesus. I set up my table this morning, eating my little bowl of cereal, getting ready for the day, and at the center of my table, we all have centerpieces, I hope, maybe you don't, maybe you do, I do, but I looked around my table this morning, this isn't in my notes, I'm off script, but at the centerpiece of my table, there was a flower there that somebody had recently given to encourage Terry and our family, and at the centerpiece, there's napkins and salt and pepper right in the center of my table. But often, I don't know if your table gets like my table, it begins to catch stuff throughout the days. So that table, which was intended for the family to gather around and share a meal, it ends up with papers on it and bills on it and junk mail on it. There may be a coat thrown across the chair. And when Terry walks in and says, this needs to be cleaned up, the boys jump in action, okay? But I thought this morning, just eating my little bowl of cereal, how many of our marriages are just like that dinner table? We start off right. We start off with Jesus being the center of things, and as life happens, things get piled onto it, and next thing you know, you've lost the center of what marriage should be, and you go from the centerpiece just trying to survive. So what is the benefit of being married? When you look for a job, maybe one of the things that you consider before you say yes to a job is some of the benefits that are offered. Maybe it is a raise in pay. Maybe it is money. Maybe it is health care. Maybe it is a work schedule. Maybe all of these things factor in why you say yes to a job. And when the newness and the goodness of that stuff wears off, you are left 20 and 30 years down the road saying, do I really like doing what I do anymore? And you contemplate a job change because maybe the benefits have lost its glory. I want you to know today that the benefit that God has intended as He puts two people together is not for their own benefit. It is first to bring glory to His name. If your life and your marriage is not bringing glory to God, maybe we need to reconsider the benefits and look and work on some things to be refreshed in our marriage. The greatest way that I understand and I learn is by looking at examples. And maybe you've had a godly example of somebody in your life that has been married. I've got grandparents that I put them up here when I looked at marriage and said, I want a marriage like that. Maybe there's somebody in the church family. Maybe on the opposite end of things, you look at people and you say, I don't want to live like that. I grew up as a child understanding divorce. And when I married Terry, I knew I did not want to enter those waters. And so I will do everything in my power and with God's blessing to avoid that. I'm going to get a little bit off the normal for you guys. I normally pick a scripture, go through it verse by verse, preach it to you. This is totally different, so it's new to me and it's a little bit different, but I pray that it ministers to you. Go to your Bibles, Acts chapter number 18. Acts chapter number 18 today. As we look at an example through the pen of Luke and through the pen of Paul, that they give us a glimpse into the life of a very godly couple. This couple, I want you to know, is always mentioned together in Scripture. And that speaks something. You need to take note of that. When two people are always mentioned together in Scripture, it means this. They were always together every time the writer saw them. You know the names. Maybe it will be a refresher to you. Priscilla and Aquila. It was never one or the other. They're always mentioned together in Scripture. And so, like a good sandwich, you cannot just have a peanut butter sandwich. If you go home and fix a peanut butter sandwich, it will stick to the roof of your mouth, I guarantee you. You've got to add something to it. There's got to be an and. It's got to be peanut butter and strawberry jelly. It's got to be peanut butter and banana. And it's got to be peanut butter and syrup. Don't shake your head, no. Go home and for lunch, you have one and report back to the pastor, okay? Here's what I'm trying to tell you. There are things that we try to do on our own or by ourselves or without somebody. Marriage was not intended to be an alone operation. You are meant to have your partner by your side. And just as peanut butter has to have jelly, you have to work together with your spouse. And so today, the title of this message, The Benefit of Marriage, Does It Impact Others? Does it impact others? There are three ways in the life of Priscilla and Aquila that their marriage impacts other people. And we're going to look at that together today. Look at Acts chapter 18, verses 1 through 3. And after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus. Lately came from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. Here we are introduced to this couple. And the first point that I want you to understand today in the benefit of marriage and how it impacts others is this. It has to impact by the building of a home. The building of a home. There are a lot of people that are married. And they are good and Christian people. That home is not a home. It may be a war place. It may be a place of loneliness. And from that, I want you to see, we pick up this scripture today from Paul's second missionary journey. He has left Athens and he is heading to Corinth. Paul is alone. He is expecting the arrival of Silas and Timothy, according to verse number 5. And Corinth is that meeting place. But as we see that, we need to understand this. Corinth is a horrible place. It is a wicked place. It is a place of immorality. It is a place of prostitution. And it is a place that sex is the religion. And so everything under the sun was done and was worshiped, and they became God. And so this is where God calls this group to go. Paul is headed there to speak the gospel. And verse number 11 tells us he's going to be there for a year and a half on this journey. So while he is there, God is quickly working behind the scenes, and he is moving this godly couple, Aquila and Priscilla, to Corinth as well, and he meets them up in Corinth. Now, I want to say this. You don't need to understand that. The accidents like that don't just happen. God ordains them. I want everybody's attention this morning. It's not by accident you got up and you came to church this morning. It's by God's design you're here. And I believe that somewhere in this marriage message is a message for every person, no matter where you are in life. But these accidental things don't just happen. God is orchestrating this joint union in a wicked place called Corinth. And so, God is working in Paul's life, he is introducing him and surrounding him with people that will support him and that will be there for him. And so we're introduced in Acts chapter 18, verse number 1, that they are moving to Corinth. And in verse number 2, that there are two people, Aquila and Priscilla, that are leaving Italy and they are working their way to Corinth. So they're leaving Rome. Aquila and Priscilla are leaving Rome. And the second thing, it wasn't their choice. They were forced out by Claudius, the Roman Empire, who, due to the unrest in Rome, is blaming it on the Jews that have become Christians and believers there. He is pointing the finger at them, and so he kicks them out of the area there, and they are in unrest, and they are being dispersed. Again, God is using this to further his gospel out into the world. He knows that Corinth is bad. He knows that Corinth needs the gospel there. And so he is forcing these missionaries out in this area. But as Paul is moved there, he is leaving the mockings of Athens to the mess of Corinth. And God is moving this godly couple there. And he joins them together because they have an occupation. Verse number 3 says they're tent makers. Just like you and I, maybe we gravitate to those people who have the like-minded interest or that do the same thing that we do as a job. Maybe you're an engineer. You gravitate toward engineers in this place. Maybe you're a firefighter. You love to be around firefighters. You're a police officer. You love to be around police officers. Well, we have tent makers here. And they have joined together in verse number 3. Look there, it says this. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them. Don't miss that. We can join them together because they're tent makers. They work together. Yes, they had got a good relationship. No, this godly couple has now opened their home to Paul to live with them. And in doing so, they are building a home. When we think about our mission in life, it's not to spend 40 hours a week for 40 years of your life to get by, just to survive and get to retirement and enjoy the things of life. No, God has you on mission right now in your situation and in your life. And my prayer is this: the marriage should be the source of the mission field. You should be a team together. And so as we are introduced to Paul and we are introduced to Aquila and Priscilla, they are building tents for people, but they've also built a home to minister to other people. I don't know about you. I've been blessed with a house that is beyond my imagination. And as Terry and I were thinking about, we've moved a few times, and where we are now, we think this will be the house that we leave from to enter the next house, which will be the one that Jesus has made for us, okay? I don't plan on moving again. But in that house, as we moved into it some 10 years ago, I don't know if that's right, we moved into the house with a prayer, and that is this, that this would become home base for ministry. God planted us just 2 miles from this church. At the time, I didn't know I would be senior pastor one day. But that is home base for ministry. Listen to me, my office across the road is not home base for ministry. My home is. If I can't minister at home, I cannot minister here. Amen? Now you look at me. If you cannot minister at home, it's hard to minister here. We share that same passion. And so what home needs to be the first source of missions work to your family and to the ones that are the closest to you. We work on building homes, but here's what we need to work on. We need to work on building ministry bases. And from that base, we minister and we love and we reach out to those that are in our community. I pray that my home will continue to be home base for ministry for the Campbell family. And I pray that your home is the same. Maybe one day you will have to open the door and let somebody spend the night there. Maybe one day you'll have to take that kitchen table and scoop the stuff off of it and let somebody sit down and get a hot meal with you. Maybe you'll run across somebody that is so inundated with life that they just need you to talk to. Invite them to your home, because that's the place of ministry. Many of you have opened your homes to me, and that is a sacred place. But it should be a sacred place of ministry. We see Priscilla and Aquila building a home of ministry. I want you to see the second area. Look at verses 18 and 19 of chapter 18. And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then he took leave of the brethren and sailed thence into Syria. And with him, Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow. And he came to Ephesus and left them there, but he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. You see now that Paul is on the move again. And he's not doing that alone now. He is taking two people with him. Priscilla and Aquila are going with him. So they leave Corinth, move to Ephesus. And point number two is this. Not only do we need to build a home, but we need to build the church. We need to work in the church together. So as we think about working in the home as the primary source of mission work and ministry work, then we move to the church. And you say, Pastor Jeffrey, why do you say that? You just say that because you're the preacher. No. I believe that every man and woman, boy and girl, needs a local congregation to be a part of. Amen. You should be part of the body of Christ somewhere. Now, I believe you can worship, you can watch online, you can do that when it is necessary, but every person needs to be part of the family of God. And I'm going to show you why today. As they move to Ephesus, we see that ministry is still in the works. He takes Aquila and Priscilla, they come to Ephesus, and the Bible says that they leave Aquila and Priscilla there, and he kind of moves on, and he will eventually leave Ephesus again. But how in the world can Paul on this missionary journey be running around and moving around, and this couple just say, yes, we'll go with you, we'll move with you? He leaves them in Ephesus because God has a purpose there. Look at verses 24 through 26. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man, and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded to him the way of God more perfectly. So here we're introduced to Aquila and Priscilla again. They have followed Paul. They are in Ephesus and they are planted there. And along the road comes Apollos. And Apollos is there and he is there to do the passionate preaching. Here's how I wrote to describe Apollos, that he was a highly educated man of Alexandria, Egypt. He was mighty in the scriptures of the Old Testament. He was fervent in the spirit according to the word of God. And here's what I wrote. He was an excited, passionate evangelist. He was moving around and he was telling people about what God could do, but there was a limitation of what he could teach. And it only says here in Scripture that he knew only the baptism of John, so there was a portion of his teaching that he was missing. And what does Aquila and Priscilla do? They hear him, they understand, they listen to the preacher, and then they pull him aside and said, "Let us educate you a little further. Let us tell you about Jesus." Because that's where it had cut off. They knew about John. He preached about John. But he didn't preach about Jesus. And there are some times in the work of ministry that God puts couples together to build up one another. My prayer is this. Is that you have another couple that you can look to and lean on when you need them. If you don't enlarge your circle, look around. Everybody needs to have godly people in their life, godly people in their circle. Don't fill your circle with the people that work with you and share your hobbies, and then you don't know anybody that goes to church. Put somebody in your circle, a couple that will mentor and minister to you. What you see Aquila and Priscilla doing are mentoring a believer. And here's where we need to gain a little bit of knowledge. I will tell you, I'm not an expert. And some of you could probably preach on marriage better than I can. But here's what Terry and I want to be. We want to be available for anyone in this community that needs a godly couple, a godly example to pray with and to talk with. If we can be those people, you call me. Don't you go through life saying, "I have no one." And here's what Christian couples need to do. We need to get out of our comfort zone and be willing to pour into people that are not as knowing of Jesus as we are. Not that we're better, but that we can help. And Aquila and Priscilla did that to Apollos. They noticed something was lacking. They pulled him in, they reined him in, and they made him stronger. And Apollos continued on for the gospel work. So here's the question. The benefit of marriage, it's not about you. It's not about your husband or your wife. It's about God getting the glory through your union, through your marriage, that you can pour into somebody else's life. Amen. And so today, who is that younger couple, older Christian people here today? Let me ask you this. Who is that younger couple that you are pouring God into? If you say, "Pastor Jeffrey, I don't have anyone." Hey, look around. Look around. This is not designed for the young people to hang out together and the old people to hang out together and the middle people just, y'all just figure it out. This is for the ones that have been through the hard times, that have seen the hard days, that have seen the hand of God work, and they can come along somebody and say, God can do this. And that's what you see in Aquila and Priscilla. They take a young man, they see a weakness, and they begin to pour into his life the truth of the gospel. Oh, that churches were filled with people that want everybody to succeed in being the light and the salt of the earth for Jesus Christ. Amen. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. And so today, if you're on the other side of things, maybe you're a young person thinking about marriage. I'm not an expert. I can point you to some people that have it figured out. I can pair you with somebody. In this congregation, if your marriage is in trouble right now and you need help, don't you dare sit there and say, I can figure it out on my own. That is of the devil. You cannot. Be paired with someone that loves you like Jesus loves you and that will tell you the truth and love, even though it is hard. Apollos wasn't preaching the full spectrum of the gospel, and this couple lovingly, they didn't call him out in the middle of his preaching. They lovingly took him in, and they corrected him, and he continued on in ministry. You don't have to announce to the world, everything's in trouble. Here's what you need. Hit your knees before a holy God. So this couple not only spent time with Paul, they spent time with Apollos to build up the church, to build up the gospel message as it would go forth. Today, are we couples that are building one another up in the Lord? You need to be doing that. You need to do that. If you're new to our church, here's what I'm going to tell you, and you've got to be careful here. If you have recently joined our church or started attending our church, it's easy to come in, slide out. Come in, slide out. If you do not plug yourself in, you will leave. Everybody with me? Christians, if you don't put your arms around those people, they will leave. It's about mentorship and discipleship, and we want to do that and do it well. Amen. When you see somebody, put your arms around them, encourage them in the Lord, build them up. That's how the church advances. We work together. We're not in competition. That's right. And so today, my prayer is we can take a lesson from here of Aquila and Priscilla. The last one. A couple of other places that we're going to look outside of Acts chapter number 18. But point number three is simply this. Our marriages are to build others up. To encourage one another. Romans 16. Verses 3 and 4. Paul writing to that church there in Rome says this in verses 3 and 4. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Here's what Paul writes of this godly couple. They put their necks on the line for me. Just to help me, just to see me succeed in ministry and to help me along the way. When we think of Claudius kicking this couple out of Rome, Paul begins to write in this 16th chapter of Romans, there are some 26 people. Many of them remain unknown in our minds or unknown in the responsibilities and the impact in the kingdom work. But at the beginning of the list, Paul puts this powerful couple, Aquila and Priscilla, and he says this, they stuck their necks on the line for me. Church, I don't know what to tell you here. There are some times where we need to be pulled out of our normal routines and our comfort zones. not necessarily for the benefit of somebody else, but for the benefit of Jesus Christ and His gospel's sake. And some of you today, maybe you've stuck your neck out on the line for a co-worker at work. Maybe you've stuck your neck out on the line for your children or your grandchildren to help them get by. I see a man and a couple here, a man and a woman, that have stuck their neck on the line, putting their life in jeopardy, that Paul and Timothy and the rest of them could continue on in ministry. I'm grateful for this impact of this couple's life. And I'm not encouraging you to stick your neck out. Here's what I'm encouraging you to do. Step out of your comfort zone. Recognize a need and help where you can. Help somebody else out. There's one other place in Scripture where this couple is referenced. It is 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, verse number 19, and here's what Paul writes to the Corinthian church. He says, "The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house." So here we see this godly couple, as they have now are holding church in their home. They are putting their necks on the line, and for the Corinthian people, they are making an impact in the community and in their and through their home, which takes us back to point number one. So what do I do with this message? Here's what I want you to be honest with you with, is this. I look at this couple, and I have a tendency to say, God, make me more like them. And I've done that throughout my life, and I got to be careful there. Because here's the reality. I don't live with you. We can all dress up the part. We can put a nice coat on, a nice tie on. We can paint a smile on our face, and we can show up on Sunday mornings, and people think everything is good. That marriage right there, it's got to be good. And then you go to their home. The greatest place of ministry is home. And if you can't teach Jesus there, we're in trouble. So lesson number one today that we can learn is we got to build up our homes. It starts with you, and it starts with me, and it starts with Jesus. It starts with doing devotions. It starts with praying together. It starts with talking to your children, even your grown children or your grandchildren, about Jesus. It starts with you. Don't bring them to church and say it's the preacher's job to get them saved, because that is wrong theology. It starts with you. But it's not about you. It's about Jesus. Amen. As you leave today, when we think of the benefit of marriage, we can list many benefits of them. Maybe you've got a good partner and a helpmate. We talked about that last week. That's just one benefit. There are some attractions and physical things that are blessings in marriage, and God has gifted for marriage. We enjoy those things. But that's not the benefit. If God took it all away, if God took all that you had away today and it was you and your spouse left, what would be the benefit to continue on? If you lost your home, if you lost everything, you lost your job, could you sit down at that table with your husband or your wife and say, we can do it, because we're here to glorify God. It's not about us. This morning I want to open this altar in maybe a little bit different way. Maybe you're a young person, you're not even thinking about marriage. I encourage that. Continue, don't think about marriage. Here's what you need to pray for. God, put the person in my life at the right time that I need. Now, you're going to have to do a few things along the way, but be obedient to God. Maybe you're a young couple here. You may be newly married, and you're trying to figure things out through a season. Don't try to figure it out all on your own. Don't think that you've got to figure out, you've got to have the answer, you've got to take care of today or else. No, God is there to help you, and I want to encourage you in that. Maybe you're in the busy season of children and running and just the busyness that the stuff is just piled on the table and you've lost the center of what marriage should be. Today, this altar is open. Clean the table off. Clean it off. Maybe you've been married forever. There's blessing in that. But also there's some people that are married that have been married for a long time that don't have the joy that Jesus can give. And so today, whatever area you are lacking, this altar is open. I do want to say this. Maybe you're in a situation, man or woman, whatever it looks like, where you're forced to do everything alone. Be encouraged. I know that I'm here because God has me here. Because I'm here because my mama took me to church. My stepdad encouraged it. And eventually he came. But I'm here because my mama made me go every morning. She set that standard. And so if you're sitting here today and you're like, I'm a single parent, I'm married, but I feel singled in so many ways, here's what I want to tell you. Continue on. Jesus Christ will give you the strength to keep on keeping on. Now, I could stay here all day and speak to every situation, but the Lord Jesus knows where you are. And in this moment, the benefit of marriage is not about us. It's about God getting the glory from your life. And today, if He's not, you need to move some things around, change some things, fix some things, surrender some things, come before God and say, God, allow my marriage to glorify you. Take away what needs to be taken away, add what needs to be added, but God, I want to glorify you. Today, you may be here and you can't do that because you don't know Jesus. Here's what I want to encourage you today. If you're in this room and you've never said yes to Jesus Christ as your Savior, He wants to be the centerpiece of your life and your marriage. Jesus Christ took your sin to an old rugged cross. He paid your debt and your death on that cross for sin that you can be redeemed through that precious blood. Today, if you don't have Jesus anywhere in the picture, today my prayer is this, by the Holy Spirit's leading, that you will surrender your life to Him, that you will come to Him as Savior, and that you will live for Him for the rest of your life. Church, I don't know what God's going to do with this. But my prayer is this. Through every situation, He knows it. In any situation, God can work. Let's trust Him to do that now. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, we come to You today thanking You, Lord, for Your many blessings. Lord, You know, as we think about marriage and we looked at the lives of Aquila and Priscilla, God, You have given us a picture in Your Word of what true couples ministry looks like. Lord, my prayer as a pastor is this, that You will raise up men and women, husbands and wives, to be ministry teams, not only in their homes, and not only in this church, but in our community and to the world. God, I pray that You will bring couples closer together in You, Lord, and that You will allow us to clear off the things that need to be cleared. And God, that we will surrender to You the areas of our life that we need to just trust You with. And through that, Lord, that You will work. Lord, before we get to the breakthrough, which is next week, we've got to realize it all starts with You. And it's all about You. So God, I pray, Lord, in this moment of invitation, that you will order lives and priorities, that you will order men and women's hearts, that they will honor you and honor your word. God, we submit that to you now and pray your leading and blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Clifford Baptist Church invites you to join us for worship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. For more information about our church, please call our church office at 434-946-0555.